Good evening and welcome to Watch What I Watch, episode 35. Getting up there, guys. How are you doing, Mike? Mark, how's tricks?
Fantastic, Steve.
In the fast lane.
Has anyone seen the video for Watermelon Sugar High?
I can't say I have, Mark.
No, maybe. Remind me.
Like, I don't think music videos are a thing anymore. But can you remember when we were like tweens?
Uh-huh.
And MTV became a thing in Ireland, and it was like amazing. Like, and now, of course, nobody bothers really. So, I had occasion to watch the Watermelon Sugar High.
Oh, Harry Styles, right?
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
And he basically does a number of amusing pseudo erotic things with a slice of watermelon.
Okay.
It's very funny. And it's funny because like a whole load of girls arrive because it's a music video and that's what you have to do. And it seemed like once they got there, all of a sudden he was having better crack, but not like all the pseudo eroticism disappeared. So it was almost like he was more attracted to the fruit than he was the girls.
Oh.
Yeah. Which reminded me of The Boys. You remember The Boys on Prime?
Yes.
Where their Aquaman analog fancies fishes. So maybe Harry's got something like that going on. I don't know. Anyway, that's my observation for the week, Steve.
You know, The Boys are back on the 3rd of June, yeah?
I do. I can't wait. Yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
A little bit of it.
Yeah.
But it was on mute. I didn't get to hear it, yeah. Did I hear a bit of it? Yeah. Carl, what's his face? Billy Butcher? Yeah.
Billy Butcher appears to have powers in the trailer.
But only for 24 hours or something. You know, that kind of...
So, yeah, I can't wait.
Hmm. Speaking of stuff you couldn't wait for, what about Strange New Worlds, episode 2? What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, they're doing the whole classic Star Trek. It's almost like next gen with modern special effects and writing and acting and modern, like, fade haircuts.
Oh.
Yeah, like once upon a time you didn't need a hairline to be captain of the Enterprise. That's changed. I really enjoyed the episode. It was a great episode. In my head I was kind of mentally crossing my arms at myself because I was going, this is just an Alien of the Week. And I said on the show last week I wasn't over enthused the whole Alien of the Week premise. But I really enjoyed the episode.
So, I think you were in a minority there too, Mark.
I was, yeah. Well, you were bought in already, so you'll enjoy this. But where I was actually going to go was, speaking of trailers, there's a couple of trailers I watched that I don't know if you guys have seen. Did anyone watch Prey?
No. With an E or an A?
With an E, P-R-E-Y. It's the
prequel. With a Y or double E?
I tell you what, I'll let you Google it when I tell people what it's about.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's the prequel to the original Predator movie.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's very short. It's only a teaser because it's way off yet. Uh-huh. But it was interesting.
Is it going to be a movie or a show?
A movie.
It's on Hulu.
Well, maybe I'm wrong then. Is it a movie? Check there, Steve.
Maybe
I got the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, I'll have a look now. Maybe the trailer's on Hulu.
So there was that one. And then today I watched She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
She-Hulk.
Oh, Hulk.
As Attorney in She-Hulk Smash.
Attorney at Law.
I think green people are underestimated, underrepresented in the legal profession. So
as everybody knows, Jennifer Walters, who is She-Hulk and Bruce Banner's cousin, is a qualified lawyer.
Hmm. Bruce Banner's cousin also drank the shit, like, you know.
Well, he didn't drink anything. He was caught in a blast, saving Rick Jones.
Oh, yeah, blast. She was also caught in a blast.
No, like she wasn't, no. Maybe you're going to have to watch She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, to find out what happened.
The origin story, fantastic. Can't wait. The first 15 minutes, then we'll know.
I'd say so. I'd say it won't take long, but judging by the trailer. So Professor Hulk is in this. You know what I mean when I say Professor Hook? And so is Emil Blonsky, the Abomination, who was played for by, what's that guy about this show where you could tell where people were lying because of their micro expressions? Do you remember that guy? Tim Roth, is it? Tim something.
The Abomination sounds like a WWE wrestler.
The Wilderness Girls, what's his name? Tim.
Oh, Tim Roth, I was right. It was Tim Roth. Tim Roth, yeah. So he played the Abomination in the Incredible Hulk movie, which had Ed Norton as the Hulk. It was kind of before Mark Ruffalo took over. So he's back. He's shown in one clip in the trailer in jail looking kind of mischievous. And then later he's shown fully hulked out as the Abomination. So I think it's going to be really good. So I suggested that this would be a good TV show for a bunch of me and the younger kids to watch together, because I can fondly remember watching the Incredible Hulk TV show with Bill Bixby when I was a kid, me and my brother. Yeah. And then both of us being too terrified to go back to the hall to get our pajamas after having seen it. I said, that's something my children should experience. So I showed it to the wee man to see what he would think. And then at the end, then She-Hulk is on Tinder going on a load of dates. And I go, oh man, I really miscalculated here.
Yeah.
The good scene at the end of the trailer where some guy goes, oh, this is the best date I've ever had. And she goes, really? And the next scene is she's She-Hulk and she's him picked up and carrying him to the bedroom.
No way.
Yeah, it looks interesting enough.
I'm going to teach you how to fold sheets. What was I going to say? Prey is a movie, by the way. Yeah,
it's a movie. I was right. Okay, good.
Speaking of She-Hulks, did you see Natalie Portman's photos from the Thor 4?
Oh, yes. I did see her in the trailer for that, actually. Love and Thunder.
Yeah,
Thor, Love and Thunder.
She has to be juicing for that. I mean, she's a naturally fairly slim sort of a person.
Yeah.
And you now think? She looks like she could pick up a car.
Well, she did wield Mjolnir, so, you know.
Yeah, I suppose if you swing that around long enough, it's like a kettlebell.
Pumped as, but, you know, she's definitely got triceps going on there, all right, yeah.
It's a bit, Mjolnir is probably a bit heavier than the shake weight she has at home.
A lot of benching, I'd say. A lot of skull crushers.
Steve, wow. I have an important question. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the end of Bridgerton?
Yes.
Oh, great. So have I. Yeah, we can discuss the season as a whole.
Yeah. What did you think of the ending?
It was actually, I have a follow-up question. Did you also watch the penultimate episode of Derry Girls last night?
No, I haven't got to the. I'm out of sync on those. I think we're on.
Right, so there's a report. There's an hour long special tonight, set against the backdrop of the Good Friday Agreement, which I think is going to be hilarious. Because I saw a quick snippet of Grandpa Joe. Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Who had this cork board out with a load of lines on it, trying to explain it to the sister. You know the.
Okay, Marion. I don't know what's wrong with you.
The less bright of the two Marys, anyway. He's trying to explain it to her, and for some reason, he hit a bag of potatoes stuck to the board. I'd say it's going to be funny. Mike, you watched Derry Girls. You loved it, didn't you?
He hasn't got to the bit where they're all surrounded in the car by a bunch of orange men.
We got a text from you.
You said you loved it, didn't you?
Said you it was your best show for laughs and giggles and stuff.
Yeah,
you liked the way it represented Ireland, I think, was what you said.
Yeah, I think that's what you said.
20 minutes of pure fucking torture. I can't.
Did you actually watch an episode, or did you watch the highlights of something?
No, he's summarizing his weekend. He sat on the couch with like a load of thumbtacks. And 20 minutes was as far as he got. And he meant to watch Derry Girls, but just never got around to it.
Yeah, he said that, yeah, it was really painful that he couldn't watch any more of it.
Yeah.
Such a pain in his arse.
Yeah. Yeah. So when the credits rolled up, he said, I can't take any more of this. And he put down the cheese grater.
switched off the belt sander and put away the vinegar.
So all joking aside, Mike, right? All joking aside, tell us what you really thought of Derry Girls.
It's probably the worst thing I've seen since Father Brown's boys thing.
Mrs. Brown's boys. Oh Lord.
To me, it's very much in that genre. It just shouldn't be seen by anybody.
Don't think you're giving enough credit now. Like I don't think it's the funniest show ever in the history of the world or anything like that. But like it's fairly good. It's fairly good. Like it's good.
I have to tune into it, like, you know, and then it's just fun, you know.
And Tommy Tiernan as well.
He's brilliant in it.
He's so good.
I agree,
Mike.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah. Waste of talent there.
As soon as I see Tommy Tiernan, my arms cross.
You didn't listen. That's the problem. Yeah, I hear you.
But but him and Grandpa Joe, I think they have the funniest exchanges in the whole show. Like, I think they are the best. Who was he in Game of Thrones? Selmy Barristan? Is that what you call him?
Don't remember.
I can't think. He's been in a lot of stuff.
He has. Don't remember. What else did we watch this week? Oh, yeah. So
he was the old knight. Anyway, yeah, he was the old knight that they. He was the old knight that they fired. And he was like...
Oh, that was him.
So, yeah, so Ian McElhinney is his name, right?
That's Ian McElhinney.
Yeah.
And I didn't even recognize him. What?
Sir Barristan Selmy. I was right. That's what I said his name was. And he also played Val-El in Krypton, which is Kal-El's granddad.
I can't believe I didn't recognize Ian McElhinney. Wow.
Well, see, he was leaner and he was a bit in better shape and he had no beard. And he even if you look at screenshots now, he looked a lot different. Like
I'm looking at it now. Yeah. He's totally different, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he does look different. Yeah. And he's also like he was constantly standing like to attention in Game of Thrones. You know, shoulders back, chest out. Whereas he's the opposite in Derry Girls. You know, he's playing a man probably even older than he is. Like,
so I'll forgive myself. Yeah.
I think you can forgive yourself. Yeah.
What was the? Oh yeah, Bridget. Come on. Tell us.
Did I ever tell you about the time I shared playing with the guy who plays Zod? Since we mentioned the show Krypton, the guy who's the bad guy in that, Zod, I sat beside him on a plane one time.
Beside him?
I did not say I knew him. I said I sat beside him on a plane once.
No way. Zod. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, and I was all cool and that. Like, so what are you over for? Are you doing a bit of work? And he goes, yeah, I'm playing Zod in Krypton. I'm the big bad. And he's got this innit London accent, bit of a geezer. And he's fucking massive. He's massive. Like, I'm not small. He's way bigger than me. Like, yeah.
You're talking about the original Zod, right?
No. Surely that guy's dead. He must be like Mike's age or something.
You're talking about Michael Shannon?
No.
General Zod in The Flash?
The Krypton TV show. From sci-fi. It was on for three seasons, I think.
Yeah. The one that wasn't made in the 80s.
Yeah, the one that wasn't. Colin Salmon. That's the guy I sat beside.
Colin Salmon.
Do you know what he was never in? He's been in a load of stuff, including Alien vs. Predator, but you know what he was never in?
Derry Girls.
Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah, see him now. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't watch that show, actually.
That was my problem. I was sitting beside him and I was going, yeah, I know you from so many things. Yeah, yeah. I kind of put my finger on it.
I saw you in a trailer or something. Yeah.
But he's all these big parts then when you actually think about it. Like he had a huge part in the original Resident Evil movie. He was the guy that was cut into tiny squares by lasers. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
You see? Yeah, but he had a big part. But he had a big part leading up to that, like, because he was in every scene before that. And he was the dad in Arrow.
Hubert.
The dad. He was the stepdad in Arrow.
Yeah. Uncle Alfred.
Anyway, Steve, I did have an important question to ask you before I took us on several tangents.
Was he in Bridgerton?
No, he wasn't, funnily enough. Did you like Bridgerton as a full series.
As a full season. I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was easy watch. Now it gets awful cheesy in the last episode.
We cannot survive the scandal.
It just gets, oh Jesus. Like, I know what they're doing, right? So they have the, well, they won't, they, oh, they nearly, ah, oh, they won't, nah, you can't, oh, they nearly, ah, oh, no, oh, they definitely just, no, they, oh, it's just like, fuck's sake, you know, it's the cheesiest of words or sentence, you know, it's just, it's straight off Hallmark cards, you know.
But let me take you on a short history lesson. It's not a lesson for you, really. It's for our listeners, because you know this stuff already, right? You know you're talking about the will they, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Breed Gurton is from Shondaland, right? So it's put together by Shonda Rhimes. Let's go back through some of her shows, right?
With what?
Well, Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of will she, won't you in that.
Well, the whole hook for that was McDreamy was married, yeah. You know, going through some marriage troubles, and was he going to get with your one Grey? Mm. So that was, they got seasons out of that. Then there was Scandal, where the lead in Scandal, whose name I can't remember now, but I'll think of it in a second, Alicia, she was in an off again, on again relationship with the president who was married. Scandal. And then, well, obviously Bridgerton, the whole of last season was about the Duke. And will he, won't he get together? Kerry Washington, sorry, I was completely wrong on her name. Kerry Washington was playing Olivia Pope. And she was, you know, would she or wouldn't she get into a relationship with Cheryl Grant, played by Tony Goldwyn?
What did we watch about a month ago? Or maybe 6 weeks ago, there was Shondaland as well.
I think I confused us because I thought something was Shondaland and it wasn't.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, Inventing Anna. That's what we watched. That was Shonda.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Why is she so basic? How to Get Away with Murder.
Well, she won't, except with a cash.
Yeah. How to Get Away with Murder is another one of those. That one actually was more about murder and trying to get away with it, as the title kind of gives away. But there was an awful lot of, will they get in relationships or won't they underneath the covers?
Yeah.
See what I did there? So anyway, yeah. It isn't Bridgerton's fault, basically. This is what Shonda does best. Is write stories of love that for some inexplicable reason cannot happen, and yet it must.
Yet it must, yeah. So, for all my giving out about that bit, I mean, the last episode was definitely one of, it was like a beach love story novel, you know? That's what it was. It was absolute trash, like trash novel, right? The last episode. Now, I really enjoyed the whole story build-up, ups and downs.
Mm.
Ins and outs, Mike. Why? And I love the characters. I love that it was not meant to be taken seriously or historic representation, you know, a bit of fantasy in there and or a bit of stylism, you know. I like the angle that you came at it with. It checked all the boxes for the romantic drama.
It definitely did.
It's just fun, actually. You know,
so. I would add hilarious. Something to that, though. Like, I agree with you that the last episode was almost a victory lap, but there were some storylines resolved in that unexpectedly, and that's what I was going to say, being a bit controversial, is that I think the writing is actually good in this.
Yeah,
because there are about three episodes from the end, right? I turned it on and I went, how is this going to resolve? Like, because like we know that won't they have to get together, but I don't really understand how they can believably do so. But she made all that work, you know? And then, like I said, there was some storylines where I expected them to go left and then went right, and it was quite pleasing when they did so. There was a couple of good things, like a couple of really good scenes as well. I really liked, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a scene at dinner where they have a bit of a row that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a good scene, yeah. A couple of other things like that as well. So, you know, like it is definitely what it is, and it's unashamed about what it is. Mm. But like, I liked it.
Is there going to be season three? I presume so.
There is, and there's some rumors out about what it's going to feature.
Oh.
So we already know about who the will they, won't they is.
I presume then, what's her name? Fairweather. What's her name? Mayweather? What's the secret writer's name?
Well, I don't know. We'd be spoiling that for people.
No. The actual name of the secret, the fake name.
It's not Miss Nightingale.
with a candle in the drawing room. No. Yeah, whatever it is. I presume that storyline will continue then, hopefully.
I presume, yeah, well, that's what the rumor is. Yeah, you're guessing correctly. So the reason why my first tangent was on Derry Girls is because Nick LeCoughlin goes from being very prominent in one of the most watched TV shows on Netflix straight over via an accent change and a wardrobe malfunction into Derry Girls, right? That was great. Great. She had a lot to do in this most recent episode. She's very good, you know. Like, she was one of the problems I had with this current season. I mentioned to you guys at the start that, and I'm sorry to bring us back to Derry Girls again, right? But briefly, I mentioned at the start that sometimes in comedy shows like Friends, when they stay around too long, everybody becomes a stereotype of themselves.
Yeah.
Right. In the way that Ross did a couple of stupid things that were funny. So towards later seasons, all he could do were stupid things, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More and more stupid. I worried a bit about that. And she was one of the culprits for this, because her kind of funny thing in the early seasons was she got a bit anxious about things and tend to faff when she did it. And that seemed to be in the early going, all she was doing, everything stressed her out of her mind. Like, but I think they got the balance a bit better. But in this last episode, I think it's really good. It's really, really good. She hits the, it's not the last episode. It's episode 7 and 8 is on tonight. So she hit the stride.
So we said last week that she had to go from one to the other, and that's why she missed half of one of the Derry Girls episodes.
Yeah,
she's filming both. So there must be a new season, or unless she was filming the end of this in the current season. Oh, I don't know now.
The two of them were filmed pretty much adjacent.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay.
But yeah, so that's Derry Girls.
I'm Breach Curtain.
Speaking of finales, I had a report back from a delegate on the Outer Range finale.
Oh, boys.
I heard it was quite something.
Oh, Jesus. There was a twist there, let me tell you.
Should I just skip to the last episode?
No.
Because I'm probably not going to watch the rest of them.
It's so good, though. It's not as good as 1883. If you're interested in cowboys, that's where you should go this particular TV season. But if you need sci-fi before you can make cowboys watchable, you could watch Outer Range from Prime. No, it's brilliant. And then when you get all the reveals, there's a couple of big reveals in the last episode. And then in your head, you look back over the seasons and go, that's it. It makes sense now. And everything clicked into place. And man, the show was way more than I thought it was.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
maybe I'll stick with it. So,
well, if you haven't given up, you should. Yeah, you definitely should.
I got to Kids in the Hall. Do you remember those, Mike? Canadian comedy guys who used to do comedy sketches.
It sounds much like familiar, Fasho. But I can't place them.
It was 30 years ago or so. They did a famous sketch called My Pen. I don't know if you remember that one.
No, My Pen.
Sure. No, okay. They're kind of like SNL, where they can be a bit hit and miss, but when they're good, they're good. Yeah. You know, kind of way. And they spend, they're back, this is after 30, whatever number of years, 27, 30 years. And so the opening obviously is all based around that. And there's a few characters they introduce, and there's a few of the old characters that have just gotten older. And so it was 15 minutes in, and about two or three sketches in, and I was sort of going, this isn't great now. I hadn't laughed. And then, it's not that long enough, so it's 25 minutes or something. And then one came along that I thought was brilliant, and it lasted for, you know, I don't know, 5 to 7 minutes. And then there was one after that wasn't too bad, that kind of played off the earlier story. But I'd nearly skipped to the 15 minutes in kind of thing. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch more, because it's too hot and cold for me. You know, there's no consistency.
Not a great percentage, really. 15 minutes out of 25.
It seemed like I was nearly abandoning, you know, and yeah, it's a pity. But anyway, I might watch the highlights on YouTube or something.
Yeah, you can count on somebody to pick out the best bits for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So watch that one. And what else did we watch this week? The Lincoln Lawyer. Mark, tell us about The Lincoln Lawyer.
Well, you probably all remember the last time we saw The Lincoln Lawyer on our screens. It was all right, all right, all right. So they recast the Lincoln Lawyer away from Matthew McConaughey when they moved from the movie to TV. And this time we have a Guadalajaran native playing the eponymous role of Mickey Holler. That's Manuel Garcia Rulfo. Would you say Rulfo? Rulfo?
Rulfo,
anyway, yeah. Anyway, he's a lawyer who's been down on his luck. He unexpectedly inherits a high-profile murder trial that seems to be fraught with personal peril as well as professional peril. And that's where the show kicks off.
Star-studded cast. It is, yeah. Neve Campbell. I know her from somewhere. I had to go and look it up.
Didn't scream once in this.
No, yeah. She's like fine wine. Fair play to her.
Mike, what did you think? Did you think it was all right?
I had really struggled for a lack of McConaughey. I didn't think the lead actor had really great charisma.
He's short about 15 to 20% of the charisma you need for that role, I think, all right?
Yeah. There's a lot of times when he kind of looks a bit unhappy, you know. And, I also thought, like, it was struggling to differentiate itself from, like, Suits or Boston Legal or any of these million other lore things that we've watched over the years. You have this lawyer, he's got his problems, he's got relationship issues, substance issues, some crime issues. You know, it's all very generic. And the fact that it's a reboot, it really doesn't help it. You know, I was thinking, like, even Better Call Saul seemed to have more ideas, even though I didn't particularly like Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is amazing. We can talk about that if you want. I'm one episode behind being up to date. Yeah. Better Call Saul is amazing. What the hell is wrong with you? First Derry Girls, now you're trying to shit on Better Call Saul? Who the fuck gave you a television?
Don't point that gun at me.
Anyway, go on. You were doing some character assassination of Lincoln Lawyer there. Don't let me get in your way.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying it's awful. It's not dreadful, but it's just
sounds
bland.
Like you are saying exactly that.
Yeah, it strikes me as the production by committee. Let's not take any risks. Let's fucking buy the book the hell out of this. Even the look and feel of it is all kind of, it's like nearly every shot they're trying to put something in that says, look at me, you know, look how cool this is. And it just looks like they're trying too hard.
If this is you not shitting on something, I think this is the reviewer equivalent of breaking up with somebody with, it's not you, it's me. We can still be friends.
And it's just because, it wasn't really you, but you kind of smelled. There's nothing really that wrong with you.
Steve, did you like this at all? Because Mike seems to have hated it.
But I kind of fancied your sister better.
I love this. In fact, I've gone and watched another episode.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I plan to watch more. Yeah, you see, I'd no reboot anxiety, unlike Mike, you know. So, drugs, relationship issues, he doesn't currently have them, he had, right? Yeah. So I like that because now I know they fall into a trope of, is he good enough for this job, and blah, 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 you know, whatever other position comes up and that kind of thing. And it's great that they didn't hang him on that, you know. Oh, you get this chance now, you know, but I'll be watching you. You know, they didn't dwell too much on that, you know. I love that there's one big story and one story of the week, you know, trials, you know. I like his relationships, issues, as you call them.
I had a plot issue with that.
Oh, yeah.
That was one problem I had, right? Let's say you've got one case, right?
Yeah.
And you need to get up to speed on it really quickly. It's really pressured, right? Mm-hmm. And if you do well, you're going to make like $1 billion, mm-hmm. right? you're not going to take 4 hours out of your day to go and do some pro bono case, right? For some randomer. And he keeps doing this. And I get filled with anxiety because I'm thinking about, this is me at work. My hair be on fire, standing there talking to someone who's not paying me anything, trying to be their lawyer when really I need to be reading the mounds of paperwork to go with this big high profile case. What are you even doing? Are you even a lawyer?
I think, lawyer, bro.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. It's like, where's his team? You know? Mm. He's got two people, you know, he's got one dude that goes off and does the underground, off the books kind of investigations. Yeah. And then he's someone running the office, and now he's got a driver. I was like, where are the 200 interns that you need to be doing 70 or 80 hours a day to, you know, to fucking get up to speed on this thing? You know, that anyway, from what I've learned from suits is that you need a massive building
to store all the paper he should have been reading.
Yeah. Well, just compared with suits as well. Suits was more, well, it was very clever in the first couple of seasons, and then they settled into, you know, the argument where the gotcha was always, well, if you do blah blah blah, well then we're going to do blah blah blah. So back off, buddy. You know, yeah. So that's every, like, it seemed the last season that I watched, I stopped watching it.
Stopped as well, yeah.
Three from the end. And I think that this is much smarter writing in The Lincoln Lawyer. Now, I think it's only developing. It's only just started. I'm still only two in, and I feel like I'm still on the fringes of the story, you know.
Yeah, I do feel like it's deep, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. I like him because he's, you don't know him yet, you know. You're just being sort of, you know, drip-fed little bits maybe, of his personality, and he's got a dry wit about him, and we haven't been shown, you know, he's not an open book. You don't have the hello, here he is, you know, kind of the thing that you normally get, and spoon fed all the details and stuff. There are some stuff that you have to work out for yourself, which is great, and it's so fucking refreshing. Yeah, because there's so many TV shows drive me bananas with that. Yeah.
Maybe that's the choice. So maybe the thing that annoyed Michael, and I certainly noticed, although like I enjoy this as well, and I have watched more episodes, so I'm on your side, Steve, is that maybe that was a choice, like, because obviously when you're doing character establishment for a movie, you've got no time. You've 5 minutes to do it, so they need to know who you are after 5 minutes, so you can get into the story and get it told and get it resolved. Whereas he's got like 10 episodes or whatever it is. So maybe he is doing that. Maybe by 5 or 6 episodes. So. I'll be coming back, Mike, saying, no, actually, this guy's full of charisma.
Yeah, you gotta watch this.
He sometimes trips over it. You mentioned Cisco there, played by, that's his kind of PI.
Yeah.
Played by Angus Sampson. I have a problem with his voice.
I have a problem with sort of the casting. It's not that he isn't a good actor and so on, but I just don't think he fits the role.
He's a good actor, yeah, but it's the way he always talks like this, Mickey. I'm not sure why I'm speaking gravelly like this. I feel like if I raise the volume of my voice, I'd sound normal, but I'm just going to stay in this low register.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you fucking speak up. Yeah. Cough or something. The coronavirus do that to you.
What's the guy's name in Better Call Saul that sort of did all the side work?
Mikey, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mike. That's who he needs, you see. He needs someone like that. Like he's sound, but you wouldn't cross him. He commands respect. Whereas this guy, you're sort of going, yeah.
Yeah, he's got such a gravitas, all right.
Yeah.
I think now that you mention it, though, Mike had a fairly gravelly voice in his own right.
Yeah, but it suited him.
He did. Jonathan
poetry competitions, like, you know. So, you know, what I mean?
Jonathan Banks was gravelly. This kind of feels like he's doing a throaty whisper. This other guy. Jonathan Banks was just, his voice was so deep. You could just tell, like, you know, this guy's seen shit and you don't want to fuck with him. Like,
yeah, I love the dynamic with the two ex-wives as well. I think both of them are hilarious.
It's good. Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. Neve Campbell's cool. I can't wait to see more of that story. You know? Normally I'm not vested in knowing about side characters. Well, it's not side characters, but B characters. And, you know, what they're up to and what drives them and so on. But she's kind of in the same business, and well, she's in the same business. I want to see what's going on in that office. We don't see a whole lot of that.
We're going to get to know the public prosecutor a fair bit, I would say.
There's a bit of cross pollination the first couple of episodes, not too much, but
yeah. No, I liked it as well. I think we both really liked this.
Yeah, The other aspect, one more point on it is, you know, because he's such a brilliant lawyer, that he spots something that, you know, will solve the case for him and blah, blah, blah. He does it in a kind of a Sherlock way rather than a, aha, you know, kind of way, which I really like as well. And it's very believable. The angles that he takes, let's say, or that's written into the story. And
The writing is good that way.
It's really
good. If they could have written in a reason why he was taking the time to do these other side cases, then everything else about it was great. Because like you said, the way he resolves these things are good.
I think the judge who gave him the cases said that he'd cover all of them. And she said pro bonos and all the rest of it. It's not just the big ones.
But he's been offered adjournments, though. This is my issue. Like, fair enough, the first one he was offered an adjournment, but he had the answer.
Yeah.
And I was going, you shouldn't have been there anyway. You should have had someone else going, he just got the case, he needs an adjournment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. True. Yeah.
Maybe it's just that I know too much about the whole thing from being in jail so often.
Since he's been watching it since Ally McBeal, since Columbo.
Yeah. So that is Lincoln Lawyer, which is a should watch from everyone except for Grumpy Old Mike.
Yeah. Tell us about Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So I've been talking about this movie since we reviewed Loki, which was last year. We were still in lockdown when I started talking about this show. So I finally got to see it during the week. So Doctor Strange pulls one of the classic blunders, not as famous as getting involved in a land war in Asia. No, he in fact casts a forbidden spell, right? Or so the synopses I'd seen online would have me believe. That isn't really what the story is about, but it's good enough to get us started. He does something he shouldn't do, and he winds up in trouble with the multiverse, and he has to pull off some pretty impressive stunts to set things back to right. So that's it. So, Mike, how much did you love this one?
Oh, not as much as I'd say I loved it.
Do you remember all those Marvel movies that you made us watch in excruciating?
I allowed you to watch. I facilitated your joy.
See, I went through that grueling torture over the past 10 years or so, over and over and over again, watching Marvel movies. But what I didn't realize was part of the deal was that I was going to have to remember them.
There was going to be a test.
Yeah.
Every so often you'd watch a movie and someone would appear and you go, I don't know who that is. Yeah. And everyone else in the theater is clapping and you just can't understand. Yeah. Was that or person in Boston? Was that person in Sex and the City? I don't know.
Yeah, there's all these people in the rows behind me masturbating over some Easter egg from a movie 6 years ago.
I know, right?
But do you think your problem might have been you went into the wrong movie theater? Did you actually watch Doctor Strange, or was it something else?
It was a strange doctor.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Not your first one, Mike.
But yeah, for somebody like me, obviously it's not made for somebody like me, but I really, really struggled to keep track of what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Why is this important? What the fuck was that? Where did he come from?
A question, if I may. Mm-hmm. Did you watch WandaVision to the end?
Well, that was one more thing I was going to say. I didn't realize this at the time, but I read other stuff on the movie afterwards, and people were saying you kind of have to have watched WandaVision for this to make sense.
For a lot of it to make sense, yeah. They did an okay job of explaining it, because I was with a lot of people. I watched it with a lot of people who hadn't.
Right.
You know, and none of them asked me anything, which really depressed me.
That's because
I'm here with all of this information. No. Yeah.
You obviously follow Elizabeth Olsen on Instagram then, Mike, I take it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he's only there to read the articles that she likes.
I know, yeah, of course. He enjoys organic farming. I know.
So many inspiring ideas.
So Michael, you might have remembered I made a joke about reading from the Book of the Dead, and I was actually talking about the Mummy when I said that. But you could have substituted the Necronomicon if you wished. which is something that was also directed by Sam Raimi and also had Bruce Campbell in the cast, as did Doctor Strange. What did you think about the macabre take on the MCU that Sam Raimi brought?
It was a little strange. That did strike me as not as kid-friendly as other movies in the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're looking at charred bodies with no legs or arms left on them, you know, just lying about the place, you're sort of going, what age is this again? Like, it was pretty graphic in places, you know.
I'm sure quite a bit of their revenue is coming from, like, under-12s.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd say a lot of under-12s aren't going to be allowed to go and watch it.
Well, I brought two under-12s with me to watch this.
And how did they react?
Well, the 10-year-old said that it would have been even better if it wasn't so scary.
There you go. There's a few nightmares and 3 a.m. screams in the future for you.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm a heavy sleeper.
Ed sweats. Yeah, it's okay. I locked him down. Well,
but I didn't realize going in, but like my take on it was like, why does the director have to make everything he does look the same? Because it seemed like that's what he was trying to do. Did you stay for the after the credits?
No, I missed it. I've got to practice.
well, the second after the credits scene was a Rickroll. It was brilliant.
Oh, no way.
It was so good. No, by that, which I mean, after I watched it, I went, fuck me, I stayed for that. But it was the fact that they did that to us. I appreciate it. Like, I was kind of shaking my head going, geez, you're some boys, Marvel. Huh?
But I'm with Mike on this. Yeah. I'm with Mike on this. I had the exact same reasons.
You loved it.
Oh, couldn't get enough of it. Yeah. No, my problem with Wanda and Doctor Strange, as much as I like watching Wanda, and as much as I like Benedict Cumberbatch, I do not like magic superheroes. I do not like people, you know, because there's no definition of what they can and can't do. And you know that none of them can really die because they can't, because it's fucking Marvel, right? So they invent stuff. Now, look, visually, it's bananas as well. I mean, it's pretty cool when you see what he tumbles through the multiverse at one stage, and that was pretty cool.
That's in the trailers, yeah.
Yeah, but then when they really get into it, there's just too much going on for me to enjoy it, let's say. You know, I think less is more in this case, but you can't with these characters. But it's the magic aspect, really. Like, so if he was told, oh yeah, you can, I don't know, he's got some fucking beam that comes out of his hands that he can cast a spell and tie people up. Yeah, great. Okay, great. But then he's inventing stuff as he goes along, and it might change time. It might change reality. There's no end to it.
There's no rules.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, I don't like that either.
Okay, I'm tapping out. You know,
fair point. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened with me, WandaVision as well. It's just that the witch stuff or the Doctor Strange stuff, it just doesn't appeal to me.
There's so much they can do with her. There's so much been done with her in the comics, like with WandaVision. But get your minds out of the gutter. What am I meant to do with you two? But look, I surprisingly enjoyed this, right? It's not probably up there in my most favorite MCU, and it does pale a little bit by comparison to the most recent Spider-Man, No Way Home. That was definitely like top tier. So, like I said, as I was leaving it, I wasn't gone on, like I mentioned, the macabre elements. I didn't think he needed it, really. I think best supporting actor should go to his cloak.
Yeah.
Who was hilarious in this. Mm. And also Wong is a great part. His kind of stoic, deadpan delivery of his comedy lines is just great.
I struggled to look at Wong in that role because he was... Kublai Khan in the Marco Polo show.
Yeah. He's been in a few things already.
I just can't picture him in this different role as like you were an emperor.
Well, wasn't he a wrestler in that zombie film you guys like, Train to Busan?
Yeah. Yeah, he was the main guy, wasn't he?
The wrestler guy.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. So I liked all that. I thought Olsen did an amazing job as the Scarlet Witch. She had an awful lot of emotional context to bring in this movie, right? Bear with me now, right? And I thought she did it quite well, you know, like about as good as it got from Benedict Cumberbatch was when he was at his ex's wedding and he was a bit miffed about everything that was going on. That was about as deep as it had to go for him. Yeah. Aside from, you know, being worried, he was worried a lot. That was his main faced expression for most of the movie. Whereas Elizabeth Olsen had to deal with, you know, wanting to have children, all that kind of stuff that was going on. I don't want to say too much more, but that's straight out of WandaVision. Right? That same theme is kind of played out there. But it's much higher stakes in this movie. Yeah, so it's good. And I thought it was a really good debut for America Chavez. Not a character I read a lot of, but I thought it was pretty cool here. And then there's one thing that I will not spoil, which featured a caveat by a whole bunch of other superheroes in the middle of it. I'm not going to say what the group is called because that will spoil it for a lot of people. But I was like geeking out of my mind when it was happening. They mentioned the group and I went, oh my God. And in my head, I went through who was in the group. I went, are they going to show us all those? Are they all going to be on my screen in a minute? and all, bar one.
On the plastic, quick.
You were that guy behind me in the cinema.
Yeah.
bar one, fairly, very, very, I don't know how to describe it. A very obvious miss of one particular member of that group. The rest of them were all there, and I thought that was class. And it also featured the funniest death I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think the more you knew, I'm really dying for my brother to see it because the character that died was one of our favorites when we were kids. And I was like, I messaged him and said, you have to see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it was good. Like, and the action was great. Yeah. Special effects were amazing. Like, I agree with you, Steve. I don't like.
Oh, look, the effects are amazing. Yeah, but I think it was. Yeah, go on. Sorry, I've told you.
No, I agree with you that there should be more rules about what he can and can't do because then you can see him kind of being clever. Whereas really, he just kind of thinks of, well, I can do anything, so I'll just be imaginative here and do it, you know. And kind of the only thing that you're being impressed by is him being calm under pressure a lot of the time. So look, I loved it. I think anyone should watch it. It's not the best of the Marvel movies, but it is pretty good.
Is it the best Doctor Strange?
The first Doctor Strange is very good.
They usually are the first ones, you know.
As origin stories go, it's one of the better ones. Like, it's this movie is probably a bit better. I'll be honest. I think it's a bit better. And like, the geek credentials are very, very high in this. So.
Okay. All right. So we have a recommendation to watch this week, I guess.
We completely agree, yeah. All of us unanimously, we should watch it.
One
that happens thing. Every time there's a Marvel movie.
I know,
movie,
right? Yeah? I know, when there's a Marvel movie. Yeah. One last thing to watch, that I watched this week, it was Senior Year, which is out on Netflix, Rebel Wilson. I thought you'd have been all over this, Mark, because there's a lot of dancing and singing.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I'm really watching it.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Actually, maybe we'll wait. Watch it, and then we'll review it next week.
Let's review it next week.
That's what we'll do. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Senior Year. Okay, because it just came out there on Wednesday. So,
although there's a risk I mightn't be allowed to watch it, because whenever I hear Australians on the TV, I always start doing my Australian accent, which is worse than all of my other bad accents. And it makes
you're that guy. Don't be that guy, Mark.
Makes Donna want to eat her own head every time I go, I know.
I know.
Back in the water.
We are big Rebel Wilson fans in the South, though.
Jiff's did. Anyway.
I think that's for dancing. Can't wait.
I know, yeah. You're going to love this, Mike. You love it. Okay, I can tell. Alicia Silverstone, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebel Wilson, obviously. Chris Parnell, he's an old friend of ours. Who else is in this that you'd know? Zoe Chow is in it. Justin Hartley, yeah. Probably wouldn't know him. No, I think you should watch it. come back and tell us who you know. Right.
Really, okay, really what you should do is you should go and watch all of WandaVision, then watch Doctor Strange again. We'll do it properly, like. You've only half-assed it.
What I loved, the best character in WandaVision was her next-door neighbor. You know, the big wink girl?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they portrayed that era was just genius. I loved it. Yeah. They nailed it. Nailed it. And she was brilliant, just the way she chatted and came in. Such a stereotype. It was brilliant.
We're not finished with her either.
Oh, good. Okay, leave there. Mike, Mark, and Steve. Stay classy.
Stay classy.